Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Let's get ready for another episode of Right Here in Mass. I'm thrilled to have one of my longtime business friends, Sonia Highfield, as today's guest. Sonia is the wealth expansion coach for creative entrepreneurs who want to expand their abundance and well-being holistically and strategically. She offers powerful, intuitive guidance alongside business and mindset coaching to give clients the most supportive approach to reaching their goals and being happy humans. Sonia, thank you so much for coming on the show. Please share more about what you do and what led you here.
Thanks so much for having me, Ashley. I'm so excited for this new venture of yours. And my background is that I had a photography business, and that's what I thought I was going to do forever. And then, as I like to say, I kind of got hit over the head from the universe with this desire, urge, calling to help other creatives. And so I started this business, not with the intention to be a coach, actually, but that's what ended up happening. And it's really been about supporting creatives, empowering creatives across all kinds of industries to build their businesses in a way that really feels good for them, that doesn't ask them to sacrifice their health or their joy or their family time, and just looking at it from all angles so that we can make sure that their businesses are profitable, that they're powerful for who they're serving, that they have good boundaries, and we work on their mindset and some energy coaching, and just really make sure that they are happy, healthy humans along the way. So whatever, you know, they whatever goals they have for their, we're focused on those, but it's never ignoring, you know, what's going on with them personally.
Love it. And one of the many reasons why I was excited to have you as a guest is because of the fact that you had gone from being a commercial photographer to being a coach. And so you had mentioned that the universe hit you on the head with making that decision. Do you mind sharing more about what exactly it was that kind of came you to realize that you wanted to change and go in a new direction?
Yeah. So it wasn't something I planned at all. It really felt kind of like a piece of destiny coming in and like landing on my path. So it was the summer of 2015 where I really started to just feel this like bubbling up of energy. And I was like, okay, I think I'm supposed to help other people with what I've learned in, you know, creating a successful photo business. And at first I was like, I'm just going to start a blog, right? Like I'll start a blog. I'll tell other creatives what they need to know about pricing themselves and, you know, working with clients and all that kind of stuff. And so that was really kind of like the first step, the kind of seed of how this business began. And I thought that I was going to be putting together like events for specifically art students, because that was kind of where a lot of my frustration also came, was like, why did no one prepare me to be a business owner when I was in art school? So that's kind of where it all began. I was like, I'll put on events, I'll bring in artists, I'll have them talk about what it's really like to be a full-time working artist. And I ended up hiring this business coaching husband and wife team. And they really encouraged me to get online, to start doing virtual summits. I was totally new to the online world. That was like not even part of my business experience, because I was doing everything in person via, you know, word of mouth, and not really even on social media for business purposes. So they really kind of encouraged me to start online, start building a community. And I did actually start with a virtual summit like 6 weeks into my business, which was like probably really terrible advice. but it forced me to try new things. It forced me to put myself out there, and it forced me to really think about like, what are the topics and, you know, areas that I really want to get into with creatives? What do I really want to share about? What's most important? And so I actually ended up having a very bad experience with those coaches and felt like their guidance was actually really not the best way to go about things. And so after 6 months of working with them, I was really furious, to be honest. And I was like, okay, now I know exactly what not to do for coaching, and I can actually do this for people in a much better way. And so that was how I transitioned to do coaching. And I feel like it's really the most natural thing I've ever done. Like, I think I was coaching before I even knew, you know, what coaching was.
Right.
And so it was a very natural fit for me. But yeah, that was kind of the origin story. I thought I was going to start a blog. I started a business. And then because of my frustration with business coaching, I became a coach.
What a cool, like, full circle moment, though, in all of that. And especially just being able to, unfortunately, take a bad experience that you have, but use it to fuel your purpose and how you show up and serve the clients that you work with.
Yeah, it was not what I would have wanted for how I would have liked to start the business. But, you know, it all was what it was supposed to be, is how I think about it looking back.
Right. Would you say that there was kind of like an immediate transition from photography to coaching, as in you shut it down and instantly jumped into coaching? Or was there kind of a cross between for a little bit working on both businesses as you started to build up your coaching practice?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was actually a couple years. It was almost 3 years before I went full time with coaching. And it really was hard for me to let go of my photo business. Actually, I found that even though I knew, like, my heart wasn't in it anymore, and it really, like, wasn't what I was supposed to do for the rest of my life, there was a lot of grief in letting it go and transitioning, even though I felt so excited about, you know, the coaching and the speaking that I was doing. Still, photography was my main income source, so there was definitely a little bit of fear in, like, letting that go. And, you know, on paper, it didn't make sense to go full time with my coaching when I did, but it was really more of that, you know, inner knowing and kind of like energetic awareness that I can't be doing both of these things anymore. And like, my heart's not in photography. So like, one of the things that made it easier for me to transition was like, wow, how cool is it that I can now pass along clients and referrals to other photographers who are so excited about this, who are going to like really appreciate, you know, new clients, new business, and, you know, just to be able to pass along that experience to other people who, you know, want it and need it. That kind of helped me make the leap.
Absolutely. And I want to repeat one thing that you mentioned, because I think it's really great advice, and it kind of goes against the grain of what we're ultimately taught as an entrepreneur. And it's the fact that you said that you went full time with coaching before financially it made sense. And so there's a lot of buzz about you can only go full time with your business once you can fully replace your income that you're currently having and things like that. But exactly what you said, I mean, energetically, you can't balance both at the same time. And if you're trying to do two things, then the time you're spending on the business you're trying to get away from is taking away time from the business you're trying to grow. And if you have more time, you can do so much more and actually have the capability to grow it. So I think that that's really good advice that you just shared, and something that I think our listeners will really resonate with for those who might be considering kind of taking that leap on their own.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's different for everyone. I think for some people, having even a part-time job, or, you know, working part-time in your business, like, I think that there's a whole bunch of different ways to do it. And so, you know, I never recommend anyone just kind of like leap with no financial plan, but I knew that I had enough of a safety net. And you're right, like, it's really hard to do two things really well. But I, you know, I just want to say, like, there's no shame if people have to have a part-time job, or build up, you know, have 3 to 6 months of, you know, finances before they go full-time. I wouldn't necessarily recommend people do it the way I did it, just because I think, you know, again, like, on paper, it didn't necessarily make sense, but that was my path. And I think can do it differently. And at some point you do have to just decide, like, this new path, is it for me? And I'm going to make it successful. But finding your own, you know, timing and also like safety within your decision, I think is key to note.
Without a doubt. And talking a little bit more about coaching in general, I always love the content that you share specifically about the coaching industry and how there's coaches who shouldn't be coaches and things like that, which I can imagine people might be a little bit hesitant to work with a coach like you or anyone else because of the fact that maybe they had a bad experience just like you did. When basically anyone can just say that they're a coach. And so what are your thoughts on that? And how do you kind of work through that? And along with that, kind of like a three-sided question, what do you recommend to people who kind of might feel that hesitancy for hiring a coach because of things that they've seen and heard and even experienced?
Yes, great question. So even as someone who's been a coach for 7 years, I think it's great to be skeptical. And I have had plenty of really great and really awful experiences. And I think at the end of the day, we're not meant to do business alone. And having support is so, so key in not just growing, but enjoying the journey of being a business owner. And so I think it's worthwhile to look into coaching. And there's so many different kinds of coaches. And let me see if I can remember the whole question. So I think it's good to be skeptical, but also be open. If you know that you want support, or you're feeling like really alone in your business, or having a hard time making decisions, or you know, you want to grow faster, be more efficient, you know, just the, if you're like, yeah, I could do better and I think someone could help me, then look into coaching and figure out for yourself first and foremost, what do you actually want help with? Mm-hmm. Right? Because I think there's a lot of shiny, awesome, like, offers out there. But making sure that you're choosing the right program and the right coach for you is really key. And sometimes that comes from experience of, you know, maybe you hired someone for marketing, but actually what you needed was a mindset coach, right? Sometimes it's just trial and error. But deciding for yourself first and foremost, like, what are the areas that you want support with? And something to note too is, like, you don't have to be struggling at rock bottom to get support, right? I think so many people wait a long time to get support because they're just kind of stubbornly doing it on their own, or don't realize that, like, things can be going good, but you want them to be going great, or you want to feel like, you know, you have someone in your corner. Those are good reasons for getting a coach as well. And I think it is really important to, again, like, do your research, look at their social media accounts, look at their Facebook or Google reviews, you know, ask around. If you know you have, you know, a business friend who's worked with a coach, like, ask around for referrals. And I know that these days it's really popular for coaches to say that they don't do calls with, you know, potential clients. For me, like, I'm always going to get on a call with someone. And if I'm investing in someone, I'm going to pay them, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars. Like, I want to know that we actually vibe, because looking at someone's social media is just a very small piece of who they are. And sometimes you don't know until you have a conversation with someone if it's going to be the right fit.
Yeah.
So I really think it's important to talk to the person that you're considering hiring. And if they don't do that, like, that might be a red flag for you. I'm not saying all coaches who don't do calls are, you know, unethical in any way, but personally for me, that's something that has to be an option, at least, is like, can we jump on a quick call? And sometimes you just have to ask, you know, and people will accommodate you. But for me, it's really important that, like, you do your research, you make sure you're clear on what your support desires are, and also on your budget.
Yeah.
Because there really is support at every budget. And I think a lot of people assume that, you know, you have to spend $10,000 to work with a coach. And that's really not true. There's amazing coaches at all different kinds of you know, income levels, budgets, fees, whatever. So, you know, look around. There's no harm in looking around and finding someone who does fit your needs and fit your budget.
I love that. You just shared like so much great advice for people who are kind of considering them. Exactly what you said. Do your research, look at their social media profiles, talk to people who have worked with them before, and most importantly, get on the phone with them to see if you're going to energetically and personality wise connect with them. Because like you said, if there's no connection, then right off the bat, you're kind of setting up the relationship for a rocky start. Yeah. Another question I have about coaching for you, which is something I've experienced in my marketing agency, is that sometimes when a potential client approaches us and they're in an industry that we haven't worked with yet, they'll say, oh, well, we actually are going to go with someone else because they have experience in this industry and you don't. And so from your perspective, do you think that when someone's looking to hire a coach, do you think that they should only hire coaches who have achieved exactly what they want to achieve, if that makes sense? Or do you think that it's okay to be able to work with a coach who hasn't exactly taken the path that you want to take, but still has like an amazing amount of experience and knowledge to share?
Yes. Okay. So I have maybe an unpopular opinion about this, but I'm a big believer and a living example of I don't need to do already what you want to do in order to help you achieve it. For me, it's very much like I grew up doing gymnastics. All of my coaches, you know, I had plenty of male coaches. They had not competed like on the equipment that I had to compete on. They were still able to guide me because they had intimate knowledge of what it should look like and feel like and how to build up to achieve, you know, the move, whatever. It's the same thing with my coaching. And when I started, I absolutely had this fear of like, am I going to be able to help everyone? And for me, what I found is I actually can help everyone and anyone. But again, some people are going to be a better fit for me and me for them. If you're really like, what you want is someone who has literally done everything that you want to do, that's fine. Go find that person. If you want someone who's your industry, you can absolutely find a coach for it. But what I personally have found is that I have worked with people who are bookkeepers, who are home organizers, who are fine artists, who are Reiki healers. Like I've worked with people in all different kinds of industries. And what I like to say is, I don't need to be the expert of your industry. That's your job. You get to be the expert of your own business. I'm here to help you achieve your goals. And I don't need to know everything about your industry to actually help you do that.
Yeah, we're fully on the same page with that. So I'm so glad that you shared that answer. And I think especially too with that, it's like when you work with someone who hasn't done what you do, they bring such a fresh perspective because they're almost like, I don't want to necessarily say ignorant, but they don't know about things that have always gone on in that industry. They don't know about the things that things are always done this way. And so if you're not willing to kind of take that risk or try something new and stop doing what you've always done, then you could end up missing out on opportunities to create something really powerful and achieve really amazing results. And I think that's a huge aspect and a huge benefit of what you particularly bring to your clients. The fact that like you are in something completely different from what they do, and you're able to provide that fresh perspective because they might be tunnel visioned ultimately in what they're doing.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that's the beauty of also like group experiences, like having other people who are in different industries from you bring their ideas and perspective to the table on what you can do. And yeah, it's really fun with coaching is that like I actually get to learn about a lot of different industries. And we really do get to take a very customized approach to how people build their businesses because, you know, I'm not jaded by their industry. And also like, I have done a lot of things. I've done, you know, in person, freelancing, you know, speaking, podcasting, creating digital products. Like, you know, I have done a lot of things in my own businesses. And so I can bring all that wisdom to the table, but yeah, like my clients do things all the time that I have never done and I will never do.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And now to focus a little bit, shifting gears a little bit onto your zone of genius, which is wealth expansion and mindset. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this. Personally, when I started my business, as of this recording, about 6.5 years ago, I didn't even know what mindset was. I thought that in order to be successful in business, I needed to focus on strategy. So if I did everything right on paper, if I followed all of these business advice and tips and things like that, that would lead me to success. But it wasn't until about, I'd say probably 2 years in, when I really started to learn about mindset and what it was and actually worked on my mindset, is when I realized that was the bigger catalyst in helping me with success. And so why do you think it's important for business owners and professionals to focus on mindset in addition to like the expertise or strategy aspect of their business or career?
Yeah, I love that you said that. It's so interesting, right? And for me, like, you absolutely need both. You absolutely need to do the strategic and practical pieces of business. But the mindset is such a big piece because, first of all, like, you have mindset, you have thoughts and beliefs, even if you don't know what mindset work is, right? Mm-hmm. And so the beauty of mindset work is that really you're just becoming aware. And the thing is that the more you're aware of your own thoughts and beliefs, the more power you have in making decisions, in creating things, in navigating your career. And so if you're aware of your beliefs around money, right? That's such a big one that people come to me with. You can absolutely be making money. Like, I did not know anything about mindset when I was in my photo business, and I was still able to create success, but it definitely would have been easier if I was more aware of all of the stories that I had picked up in my life around, you know, money, around self-worth, right? And so mindset work is really just starting to become aware of your thoughts and understanding that your thoughts aren't facts. And so a lot of times we kind of put ourselves into these little boxes, or we stay stuck in these patterns that, like, they might be okay. They might not necessarily be harmful, but they might not be helping us actually grow and expand. Mm. So the more we can become aware of our thoughts and our feelings and all of that, the more we can make really empowered choices and get out of our comfort zone, which allows us to grow and even go, you know, go after our dreams, right? So, the mindset is just such a big piece because I see it so often that people have the strategy. They actually are like, I know exactly what to do, but I can't seem to do it. Or like, I keep, you know, just hitting resistance, or I keep feeling stuck. And right. A lot of times it's because there's something going on in your mindset, right? So I'll give a quick example, because sometimes it's hard to like,
oh yeah, explain. Go for it.
So I had this client, and she was like, she was a photographer, and she had been doing one kind of photography for a while, and she wanted to start teaching on that kind of photography. And she knew a lot. She had her kind of course laid out. She had someone help her, you know, put a whole course together. And she came to me and she was like, here's what I want to do. Like, here's my goals around it. Here's the people that I want to help. Like, it was totally clear from a strategic perspective, but she was like, what if people don't think I'm an expert? Mm. Or what if people know that I'm taking time away from actually like working in the field to teaching about it? And she had all these, you know, inner thoughts and doubts and fears about how people were going to see her. And that was keeping her from actually just implementing the strategy. So once we worked on the mindset around, like, you are an expert on this, you're allowed to choose how you use your own time. Just because you're not shooting 100% of the time doesn't mean that you're not a real photographer. It doesn't mean, you know, like, we had to kind of work through all of those stories that she was holding on to inside. And then she was able to go implement. And now she teaches, you know, brand photography, and she still shoots, and like, it's all beautiful and lovely. But without that mindset piece, she was never going to really get to the strategy, or she wasn't going to actually get to implementing it and doing what she wanted to do, at like a quote unquote reasonable rate.
Right. Yeah. And I love what you've shared about stories and the things that we pick up throughout our lives that really shape our own beliefs and our own mindset, which is something that I myself had to learn as I've gone through being a business owner, and which I want to share as well, because maybe our listeners can resonate with it. But one of the biggest struggles I've had is just worrying about money, which I think a lot of people can relate to, but specifically with business, worried that I wasn't making enough money, that for some reason I was worried that my money was going to get taken away from me. Like, just all of these thoughts and worries were constantly popping into my mind about it. And I was always so worried to spend my money because I was like, I need to save. And after thinking about it, I realized it's because I picked that up from my parents, with the fact that even though my family did really well financially, it's like my parents always had this advice that they would give to my sisters and I, which was save your money, don't spend your money, save your money. And it's like that totally, like I totally absorbed all of that. And yeah, it totally reflected and affected onto my own beliefs and my own mindset of it. And so I think that just kind of being able to sit down and say, why do I think this way? And is it actually true? I think can do so much. And after realizing it, I mean, of course, it wasn't their fault because they probably got that from their parents. But after being able to sit down and think about it and really work through it, then I was like, okay, I actually now have a solution to kind of debunk these myths and get past the mindset. And so just taking the time to sit with yourself and reflect on what you're thinking and being able to think about why you're thinking it can just do so much with making progress in that field.
Absolutely. And that's such a good example, because the idea or the belief that it's good to save money is not inherently a harmful idea, right? And so different people can actually have the same, the same idea can be helpful for one person and harmful for someone else. And it's not so much like a good or bad thing, but it's for you. Like, so you were really focused on saving money, and so that probably held you back from investing or spending on yourself, or feeling like it was okay to take some risks maybe. And saving was almost like having a negative impact on your life, whereas someone else might not feel safe to save. And so they might make a lot of money, but they have this idea that it's not safe to hold on to it. And so the idea that saving money is safe would be a helpful thing for them to adopt, right? Yeah. So it is such a personal thing. And that's why I think it's so great being able to like work on our money stories, work on our mindset, and not just within ourselves, right? Because sometimes you just need that outside perspective to be like, yes, saving is good, but how are you using that belief?
Right. Yeah. Super interesting to think about it in so many different ways. And exactly what you said. I mean, everyone, it's unique to everyone. So everyone has their own experience and perspective and thoughts around it. And so for our listeners who might be feeling really intrigued from what we've been sharing specifically about mindset, do you have any resources that you would recommend to them if they would like to learn about it more or figure out how they can improve their mindset or anything like that?
Yeah. So there's like a million awesome podcasts out there that cover mindset. People can definitely check out my podcast, Wealthy in Pajamas, which covers a lot of mindset stuff. And as one friend said, she was listening to it on a plane and she was like, wait a minute. I didn't have my journal with me. I wasn't prepared for like all the great questions and, you know, things that were going to come up. So
I love that.
My podcast actually gives you a lot of prompts and like some kind of little homework pieces to work on your mindset. There's a lot of good books out there, but honestly, I think doing some coaching is kind of the best way. But to start with yourself is just start asking why. If you can just go into like what I call toddler mode and just like, why do I feel this way? And start to take little pauses throughout your day or your week. When it comes to like, if you want to work on your money mindset, whenever you're interacting with money, take a little pause and say like, how am I feeling? Why do I feel this way? right? If you're eating out for dinner and it comes time to pay the tip and you start to get like a little knot in your stomach because you're like, oh, okay, I know I want to give good tip, but I also know, like, you know, here's my budget for the month. And, you know, you just start having some anxieties about, you know, sharing your money. Right. That's a good thing to pause and go into, okay, like, why do I feel this way? Where is this coming from? When you send out, you know, a proposal to a client and it's time for them to pay the invoice, take a pause and say, like, how am I feeling right now? And, you know, if there's kind of that like beat between when you send the invoice and they pay it, notice how you're feeling in that pause and start to, again, ask yourself just like, why do I feel anxious about this? Why do I feel confident that the money's going to come in and, you know, I'm on to the next thing, right? So like both the good, the bad, the positive, the negative, you know, however you want to see it. Just taking a pause, checking in with yourself, asking why, and then you can really start to dissect for yourself. And a lot of times our mindset definitely comes from childhood, but it comes from all kinds of influences. So it might be your partner, right? Who you live with, they're going to have an influence on your money or your mindset about things, right? Can definitely be from your parents, from your schooling, from your religion, from the media, right? There's all these different influences. And so asking yourself not only like, why do I feel this way and where did it come from, but do I agree with it, right? Like yeah. You said, ask, is this true for me? Do I agree with this? Do I want to keep feeling this way or thinking this way? That's a really good place to just start kind of like self-coaching on your mindset.
I think that's great advice. Exactly. When those thoughts tend to pop in your mind, stop and think about it and just be able to reflect on it. I love that. While we're on the topic of money, this is also a really good time of year to be talking about this because of the fact that we're recording this episode during the first week of 2023. A new year is when people often think about raising their prices and thinking about what goes into that. This is a topic that you share a lot of content about. I know it's something that you coach your clients on, but it's a big challenge that people face because of that imposter syndrome. And so when it comes time for businesses to raise their prices or on another scale, if they're putting together a new offer but don't know how to price it, what's the advice that you would recommend in both situations for them?
Okay, so my thoughts and feelings on pricing yourself are that number one, your prices have to be realistic for you. So a lot of people like to start with the question, what's reasonable for other people to pay for this, you know, service, product, whatever. That's the wrong question. The right question is, what's reasonable for me based on your actual numbers? And I understand, as someone who used to be absolutely like number avoidant, I know that's hard to sit down and kind of look at sometimes, but you're going to do so much better and actually feel so much more connected to your prices and your money if you're basing your prices on not only what are your current expenses, but where do you want to go, right? Like, what do you want your profit margin to be? What do you want to put towards your savings, your retirement accounts? What investments do you want to make, right? Because I think a lot of times people will price themselves based on like, what are just my current needs? And so that's a good way to kind of plateau or, you know, have just enough, right? Is like, if you're only looking at your current, you know, what am I making and what do I need right now? So for pricing, I think it's kind of multifaceted. I do have a pricing guide that's free on my website that people can go and look through, but basically, it looks at your whole life expenses, right? Because your business has to pay for not just business expenses. It's got to pay for your whole life. Yeah. And that's one mistake that I do see people make, especially when they're kind of like at the beginning of business. So it's got to cover both your personal and your business expenses. And then adding in your goals for retirement contributions, savings, also thinking about like any debt that you have to pay off. So adding all of those numbers up. I also include like a fun money account, right? So like saving for vacations and, you know, whatever those other pleasures, luxuries that you want to have. Adding all of that up to find kind of a minimum income goal is a good way to start. And then you can start to break it down and figure out by, you know, offer or product, like how much you want to charge. That's kind of like a general guideline is you have to know your own numbers. The other thing is that it does vary a bit by industry, right? So I encourage people to do a little bit of research, but not get stuck in what are other people charging, because you're going to find such a wide range in most industries. Like there's going to be quite a range.
Right.
So you really have to figure out like, okay, what works for me? And then figuring out how you want to charge, right? So like, you know, how an artist who's like painting large canvases is going to charge is probably going to be different than how, you know, a nutrition coach is going to charge. So you have to figure out for yourself. And, you know, there are lots of resources out there. Again, do a little bit of research, but at the end of the day, like it's really up to you. And it's your business and it's your goals and it's your lifestyle. And so you just have to be confident that your numbers relate to you, make sense for you. And then I think it's easier to go out there and feel really confident and like, here's why I'm charging this. And the other important piece, of course, is that you're speaking to the people who have you in their budget.
Right.
And that's like one example I love to share is like, you know, you can buy mascara at CVS for, well, probably used to be $3, probably $5 now, right? Like inflation. But you can buy, you know, some cheap CVS mascara, or you can buy mascara that's like $400. It's all pretty much the same black goop, but people have decided that's what they want to charge. And then they're speaking to an audience that is going to have that in their budget and value it at that level.
Absolutely.
So when it comes to imposter syndrome, like the thing I really like to remind people of too is, you know, if you're not brand new in business and you've probably raised your prices a couple times and you can think back to the last time you raised your prices and you were freaking out and you're like, is anyone going to pay it? I don't know. Like, you know, and then inevitably someone does, right? You get a new client. They have no idea what your past prices were. They just see the current prices. They're like, okay, great. Love it. I sign on. You know, it's actually not such a big deal, but we have that internal battle with ourselves. And so again, you know, when it comes to the mindset behind it, it's like being confident and being clear in why you're charging what you're charging, I think really makes it a lot easier to go out there and sell.
Amazing advice. I want to repeat a few things that you shared because they really stood out to me. And I imagine that our listeners will appreciate them as well. But the first being that you mentioned when you're putting together your pricing to not only think about what your needs are now, but to think about your future needs. And personally, I had never heard that advice before. And I think it's really amazing to think about is like, you're going to have different needs and different wants as time goes on. And so you can't kind of pigeonhole yourself into one spot because things are going to change. And so I love that idea of being able to think about what might come up in the future and being able to incorporate that into your pricing. I think that's really huge. And just being able to kind of focus on that and be able to use that with your pricing. And secondly, what you mentioned, getting into the mindset of the fact that a new client who's going for your new pricing won't even know your old pricing. So it's like that validation where if one person says yes, then you know that other people will say yes as well. And just being able to speak to the people who will be able to afford your pricing at that point. And from a mindset perspective, I always say, well, if someone scoffs at my new pricing or whatever, doesn't really want to pay that pricing, then they're not a client I want to work with anyway. Because the clients who value you and what you offer and what you specialize in will pay that price.
Yeah. And it's not one of those things where it's like, oh, someone is, you know, better or worse as a person because they don't want to pay my price, right? If we can just kind of let that piece of it go and just say, well, I'm just talking to the people who have this in their budget. And,
right.
You know, if someone's showing up and like, you know, traction us over our prices. Like, that's really not our problem. You know, that's such a big reflection on their own mindset. And it's like, cool, no worries. I bet you can find someone who has your price. And, you know, like, that's just simply not me.
Yes, I love that. One thing that it's just switching gears a little bit, but one thing that I love seeing that you post on your Instagram stories all the time is the fact that you have huge self-care routines and you're really good at setting boundaries. And I love seeing that content that you share. And so I'd love if you could share with our listeners what your daily routines are for that and how you protect your energy as a business owner.
Ooh, sure. Yeah. This is something that, again, I think has to be really customized and personalized to you.
Right.
I'm someone that has a chronic pain condition, so I kind of have to take extra good care of my body and put that first. And that's something where sometimes that's frustrating.
Right.
But it has forced me to create really good self-care routines. And for me, that's just how my day starts, is the self-care comes first. I never do a call before, like the earliest I'll ever do a call is 10:30 and usually it's 11. So that I can get up in the morning, I really have to have kind of like slow, easy mornings, to literally like get my body on board for the day. A lot of times that means I start the day like sitting on the couch on the heating pad, doing some gentle movement. I take the dog for a short walk or take her to the park. I like to make sure that I eat a good breakfast. You know, I have like ritual of like my coffee making. Like I like to really ease into my mornings. I like to do journaling as I'm drinking my coffee. Mm-hmm. These days I've been doing a lot of like EFT tapping in the morning to start off. Often I'll do some meditation time. So it really like my mind, body, spirit comes first in my mm-hmm. day. And I find that whether I wake up in a good mood or I wake up not in a good mood, it's important to do those things. And then I can get into my day and whatever I'm working on or whoever I'm working with, I'm going to bring a better energy. I'm going to bring more focus, you know, to my work if I take care of me first. Mm. And for me, like, I'm just not an early morning person. Like, that's just, it's never been me. It's never going to be me. And so, not trying to put myself on, you know, anyone else's version of a productive morning. And then for me, I found that like I have a major afternoon slump. So
yes, like, I can relate.
Yeah. So like usually around like 3 o'clock, like 3 to 5 o'clock, I'm pretty useless. So I try to not schedule calls for that time. That's kind of my time to like take a break, take it easy, take a walk, sit on the couch, whatever I want to do. Because I know like my energy is just not there. And yeah. I've gotten a lot stricter over the years with when people can book calls. And so my schedule these days is, you know, pretty limited to like 11 to 3. Like that's generally the time when, you know, I'm actively working in the business, doing client calls and that kind of stuff. I'm a big believer in like starting and ending the week with kind of flexible CEO time. That to me has been really helpful, is like to start my week where I can get organized on Monday. I can, you know, kind of do admin stuff, set myself up for the week, do some, you know, content creation. And then Fridays, I like to take it pretty easy. So
yeah,
I have a very leisure schedule. And, you know, again, for me, like that's what works best. And I really encourage people to figure out like, what do you need, you know, mind, body, and soul for nourishment to really feel as balanced as possible, as, you know, full up as possible, as kind of connected with yourself as possible. And then figuring out what business, you know, structure and schedule works best for you.
I love that. And I think what you shared in terms of flexibility and being able to create a schedule that works for you relates to the fact that I think as a society, we need to get out of the mindset of 9 to 5 being the social norm and you have to clock 40 hours per week. That was something that I got so bogged down by, is the fact that I was like, I need to work 5 days a week, 40 hours a week. But over the past year, I've really shifted my perspective and realized it doesn't matter how many hours I work. What matters is what I'm producing during those hours. So if I can knock everything off my to-do list in 25 hours instead of 40, that's great. It doesn't necessarily mean that I need to work the full 40 hours, but that's something that unfortunately society teaches us we need to do. And so just being able to understand that as a business owner, that you work best when you take into consideration your most productive times of the day. And if that's not 40 hours, that's totally fine. It's all about what's doing that works for your situation and your lifestyle.
Totally. Totally. I think with the last 2 years for sure. And, you know, even non-entrepreneurs working from home, like there really has been a shift and like, yeah, we probably don't need 8 hours a day. And, you know, there's been studies mm-hmm. that's like people are really only productive for 2 hours out of those eight yeah. hours. Right. Like, so I think it is important as you run your own business to not be afraid to set your work hour boundaries. And,
yes.
you know, I like to tell people like, have it in your email signature, have it on your website. Like, what are your work hours? And if you're, you know, working like one-to-one intimately with clients or customers, whatever, like let them know what your response time is. Let them know yeah. when they can communicate with you. You know, none of that makes you disagreeable or like a rude business owner, right? It's really just, you're allowed to protect your time and let people know, like, here's how I work. And, I found, you know, even with having like limited call times, I don't ever have a client that it doesn't find a time or, you know, exactly. can't figure out like, okay, here's when I can give myself an hour because this is when, you know, Sonia's available. Like it really, we have a lot more time freedom than I think we do sometimes.
You're absolutely right. And while we're on the topic of entrepreneurs, what would you say your favorite local businesses are to support?
Oh, yes. So this is such a good question. And one of my favorites that I found just in the last year or so is called the Bird and Bear Collective in Holliston, run by Aaron, who is an amazing human. And it's actually a shop and they support local artists and makers and entrepreneurs as well. So they have a retail shop that you can go and buy all kinds of gifts and goodies. And like, you'll walk in there and want to buy everything that's in there. and they support, you know, a lot of local makers. And then they also have a collective for entrepreneurs who are service and product based, to get together and meet with each other. They do co-working in their retail space as well. They have lots of workshops there and it's really just a beautiful kind of like multi-layered, local business hub. So that's definitely one of my favorites. And then I was thinking about just really local to me in Franklin. I'm a little bit obsessed with this olive oil shop. If you're into olive oils and like balsamics and nice, ooh. You know, kitchen things, there's this place called the Little Shop of Olive Oils. And it's just like, yeah, it's one of my favorite places to go in and get gifts and pick up olive oil for us and just kind of like meander through.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Sonia, this has been an amazing episode. For our listeners, before we start recording, I told Sonia, I was like, yeah, this is probably going to be 30 minutes, but with how well our conversation was and all of like the really exciting things to talk about, it's turned into almost 50, which I think is just amazing. And I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your expertise with our listeners and everything that you do with wealth expansion and mindset. And so now I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online if they'd like to connect with you further.
Yes. So you can find me everywhere under Real World Creatives. That's my Instagram. You can find my Facebook page that way. And that's my website as well.
Perfect. And I will link those in the show notes in case our listeners missed it. They can click through from there and connect with you. But Sonia, thank you so much again for coming on Right Here in Mass.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.